And welcome as we enter this fifth Sunday of Easter, and allegedly there's a foot race supposedly going on around us, so snarling up traffic, but we're glad you're here this morning. At this time, I invite you, as you're able, to please stand, and we'll join in singing hymn 296. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Almighty God, to all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from Acts of the Apostle, Acts 8, 26 through 40. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. There's a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to the chariot and join him." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in the Azotus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, yeah.
A second reading. Reading from the fourth letter of John, John 4, 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that he might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to do the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached the perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks. Our sequence or gospel hymn this morning is hymn 379, found in the blue hymnal. Please stand as you're able and let's join in singing 379.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
And Holy Spirit, Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned in last week's homily, during these 7 weeks of Easter, I am focusing as much as possible on our passages from the book of Acts. And for those who don't remember from last week, the book of Acts is kind of the sequel to Luke's gospel written by the same writer. And as some of my colleagues will say, while Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus, the book of Acts is the good news of the Holy Spirit moving through the church. Because what we see in the book of Acts is sort of that continuation of how the Holy Spirit continues working through first the disciples, their miraculous healings and things like that, to show that the power of Christ transfers downward and then continues out into Paul's travels, into the forming of the churches throughout the Mediterranean world. We actually live in the context of the book of Acts because we are the continuation of that story. In this morning's passage, we heard about the Ethiopian eunuch. And we know that he, within his context, was someone of great power and resources because he was part of the court. Now, I don't know if you pick this up. It's not Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, but the Candace, queen of Ethiopia, which means Candace is a title, not a name. But in order to be part of the court of the queen, male servants had to be castrated for the protection of the queen and the assurance that there is nothing going on between them. And so that is why you have an Ethiopian eunuch of great power or resources coming into Israel to worship. Now, although our story doesn't tell us whether he is Jewish or not, it is rather interesting that on his way into Jerusalem to pray, he is reading from the prophet Isaiah. It is possible that he was an ancient Jew, because to this day, there are pockets of isolated Jewish communities throughout Ethiopia. there were also pockets of isolated Christian communities in Ethiopia at one time too, who continue to practice very ancient rituals of both Judaism and Christianity. But the other hint that this passage tells us, because the Ethiopian is described by title and not by name, indicates that he is someone who is not important, at least from the writer's perspective and the culture in which he is writing. Because as I've mentioned before, in Old Testament writing, only those who had importance were names included. One of the things that makes our gospel so wonderful and exceptional is that it actually names women, which in ancient texts often were not named because they were not seen as important or of stature. This person, the Ethiopian, would have also been of low stature in Jerusalem for several reasons. One, he would have been very dark-skinned, and in the ancient world, particularly around the Mediterranean, dark-skinned people were not often seen. So he would have been an oddity and very clearly identified as an outsider. And because he was a eunuch, he would have been declared unclean. So even if he were Jewish by faith, he would have been seen as an equivalent from the Jewish authorities of the time in Jerusalem as a Samaritan. Jewish, but not Jewish enough. And so would have been perceived as less than. And most likely, if he were to go into the temple compound, he would not be permitted beyond the court of the Gentiles. So as Philip, called by the Holy Spirit to kind of meet up with this man's carriage and to go into it to talk with him, is akin to Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And at the end of this conversation, when the Ethiopian looks at Philip and says, "There's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" I like what he says. What prevents me from being baptized? I look at this individual expecting that Philip will come up with a litany of reasons why he should not or could not be baptized. But sort of the shocker in the story is that Philip says nothing, and the Ethiopian is baptized, offering him full admission and full rights into the body of Christ. Now, some modern scholars, when looking at this passage, use it as a touchstone to begin talking about the full inclusion of LGBTQ people, as well as trans people in particular, because the Ethiopian eunuch would have basically been the equivalent of a trans person in today's world. And I could move on and have a whole homily on how that is part of the reality of this passage. I don't have enough knowledge on that. But as one of my colleagues pointed out this week, to allow that to be the fullness of this passage does the passage disservice. Because the greater reality of this passage tells us and should remind us that this is not about someone else, necessarily. It's not about other. And if I simply preached in that reality, everyone could walk out that door today and say, Father, really nice homily. And say, but it had nothing to do with me. The reality is, it has everything to do with you and me. Because somewhere in our journeys of life, in our relationship with God, we too have felt like the Ethiopian eunuch. Something about us, either culture or our family or somewhere else, we have been told makes us somehow less than. Whether it's our gender, our size, the amount of resources we may have, our family lineage, our athletic ability, or perhaps even some form of guilt over something that we have carried in our hearts for our lives that somehow prevent us from feeling that we are truly and fully worthy of the gift of the cross and the love of God. And as I look at this passage today, I hear the words of Paul at the end of chapter 8 of Romans that tells us there is nothing on this earth that can separate us from the love of God, or as the Ethiopians' words are, prevent us from the love of God. But every time I quote Paul, I always say, from my perspective, there's a caveat that he didn't include. And that is, nothing separates us from the love of God except we ourselves. We are the only thing, you and me are the only thing that stands between us and the full love of God in our lives. And it comes down to the fact that we probably don't really trust the message that God loves us in our imperfection, that God loves us despite our brokenness, and loves us fully, even into our own darkness. And that is what often prevents us from being able to allow God to love us. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus giving what has been termed the final discourse. We have been brought back to Maundy Thursday. And these are his words to his disciples at the beginning of the Last Supper. And while we hear the conversation about he is the vine and we as the branches, we get into that circular discussion about abide in me as I abide in you. What does it mean to abide in something but to rest within something? We are being called by Christ to rest in him as he rests in us. Now, this is sort of the precursor or conversation that leads up to Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It is the object lesson to these words. And as we remember from Maundy Thursday's reading of the Last Supper, we hear Jesus goes to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter says, no, 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 you can't do that. It's not right. I won't let you. And Jesus says, if you won't let me do this, you can't really have any of me. And as Drake so astutely observed in this reading, what Jesus was saying to Peter is, unless you are going to allow me to love you, you cannot love others. We have to allow ourselves to be loved fully by God before we are able to love fully ourselves. In order to be the branches of the vine, we must be willing to literally graft ourselves onto the divine vine and to allow the love of Christ flow through us so that we can produce the fruits of the Spirit, which is just a fancy way of saying to produce fruits of divine love itself. So my challenge to us this week is to take a risk. Open yourselves up and fully allow Christ to love you, to see fully who you are, and trust that he's not going to reject you, but he's going to fully love you, and to allow that reality to flow through you so you can fully love others with the divine love that has been given to us through the cross and the resurrection. Amen. Please stand and join with me in affirming our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, Nicholas, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all
who serve God and his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. In our parish cycle of prayer, we pray for Richard and Robin Beaupre, John and Stephanie Bishara, and Michael Borek and Lisa Corvezi Borek. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for a diocesan council, standing committee, and those who serve on our diocesan governing committees. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, especially Leo Carroll, Vanna Shelley Cowie, and Graham Anier, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you. And let us continue in our prayers for peace throughout this world, for an end to war between Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, and Iran, the Sudan. We pray for those who have fled their homes due to violence, whether it be for war or gang violence, that the countries of this world may open their doors to receive them so they may find a place where they can rest in peace. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a sign of Christ's love for us. Peace, Mark. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Good morning, everybody.
Peace be with you.
My name is Ron Cowie, the senior warden, and I was sleeping back here. it's been a long weekend and all that stuff, but the last thing I heard was eunuch, and then Ron! And so, you know, there's that. That kind of rounds up the idea that we do have some leftover pancakes from the pancake breakfast, and I blame the pancakes for my kind of dozing. So if you missed it, there are still some. I made them myself. They're quite delicious. And speaking of meals, on Friday, May 24th, that's a little bit away, we will be having the shared meal and service with Congregation Beth David at 102 Kingston Road. And that's a wonderful tradition that we have, with that congregation. And so that Friday, we'll be gathering with them up there to share a meal and join them in a service. And they come here every year to do a shared service, and it's just, I don't know, it's good karma. I don't see a whole lot of other announcements.
Not a whole lot going on,
which is okay. Welcome anyone who's new. Glad to have you. As you can see, we take this seriously, but, you know, me, not, I don't know. That's all I get. Anyone got anything to announce? Thoughts? Prayers? Acknowledgements? That it?
I get that.
I'm going to sit right back down. All right.
So just a bit of emphasis on the shared service with Congregation Beth David. Our relationship with them has been noted both in the periodical that goes out to all the members of the Jewish congregations here in Rhode Island by our own local papers. Our 35-year relationship is unique, it's wonderful, and especially in these times of chaos and uncertainty, when so much of what's going on in Israel is being tied in and giving license to anti-Semitism, our time with them and support of Congregation Beth David and friendship that we have fostered over the years becomes so important and so symbolic of the truth of the fullness of love and reaching across divides and knowing that there's really little that divides us and more that brings us together and unites us. That, and I do have one piece of good news, though it's probably the second worst secret in all Christendom at this point, because it's now Facebook official. In November, Maureen and I will have a change of status. We will be grandparents for the first time. So, and at this point, everything looks healthy and on course. So walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
To the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn, to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he'd given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Please stand as you are able and join in singing hymn 210.
I invite everyone to join us for a coffee hour and refreshments to your left, and go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.